seems it so heavy, and it seems I'm all alone. I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to His throne. I find His grace sufficient when His promises I heed. For His very life He sacrificed, and He lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, "Peace be still," then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease, and beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I will seek for souls in darkness, Calvary's love with them to share. Empowered by His Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whatever befall me, my Lord is in control. And as my mind is stayed on Him, perfect peace He gives my soul. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, "Peace be still," then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I'm at rest in perfect peace.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And that's a great blessing. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We'll go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want to begin or continue the series that I began a few weeks ago. This is actually the third message in the series of our behavior in the church of the living God. Now, I'm going to talk about, obviously, many different things, the aspect of a New Testament church, obviously, our doctrine. Obviously, Bible policies and procedures. But there will be times like tonight that I will simply go to something very, very practical, and I believe something very necessary in a local New Testament church. Tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject. The church is members one of another. The church is members one of another. Now, that little phrase, one of another. We are together, one of another. We are to serve together. We're to pray together. We're to worship together. Because we are members one of another. Now, when we come to Romans chapter number 12, we have something that I believe is very important for the local church. Now, tonight, this is for every child of God. And I pray that God can use it to speak to our hearts. Let's begin in Romans chapter 12, and we will begin in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then notice verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, notice that, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now let's go back, if you would please, to verse number 5. And notice this little phrase that I've chosen for the title of this message. So we being many as one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Tonight, the church is members one of another. Now, please understand, as Christians, we are connected. As members one of another, we have specific responsibilities and we have opportunities to exhort one another, to admonish one another, and to encourage one another. We are a body. We are members one of another. And by the way, sometimes in Christian homes and even in churches, we see people who are not functioning well one with another. And according to the teaching and the spiritual unity that we find in the Bible, God wants us to be members one of another. In fact, sometimes it seems that we are better at dysfunction than we are unity together. And by the way, let's just be honest with ourselves. Disunity and dysfunction is easy to come by. But it takes labor, it takes a spirit of Christ so that we can have unity. And by the way, our unity is not something necessarily that comes from working hard at it. Unity is what we find in Christ. And as we are properly identified in Jesus Christ and who we are in Christ, then we can understand how we are members one of another. Folks, it is God's will that the church be a model for all that is related to functioning and working together. If there is any organization that should show how to function well and work as a team, it should be the local New Testament church. So, number one, I want to show you some things that I believe is a part of how we are to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. We are to behave ourselves. By the way, growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, I remember that my mom would often say to me before we went to church, "Son, you know how to behave yourself." But I got in church, I forgot how to behave myself, you know? You know how that works. But my mom said, "Hey, there's a way to act in church. And there's a way to show reverence and respect." And that was, for me, how I should behave. But you know what? Sometimes, even as adults, we might listen in church. We might show respect in church. But we don't treat one another right. We don't respond to one another right. In fact, let me be very clear on this. You know how in a family, I'm talking about a family, a home, sometimes members of the family can get so accustomed to one another that they forget to guard their tongue and to speak kindness and to speak encouraging words. You know that happens. You know, for instance, you know, I had two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. I'm still trying to work through that in life, all right? And God's helping me, and with counseling, I'm getting better. But anyway, all right? I'm kidding. But, you know, sometimes, and I remember how this was, if a guy in school spoke bad to my sister, I was going to punch him. I'm going to take you out back and we're going to duke it out. But now I'd say the same thing to my sister in my home, you know? You understand what I'm saying?
Now, why is that? Pretty hypocritical of me, is it not? But the problem is sometimes I can filter into the church. We've known members so long and we've been around one another so long that we get a little careless with our words. We get careless with our deeds to one another, and we don't treat one another as Christ would have us to treat one another. Tonight, the church. What is the church? It is members one of another. So tonight, number one, I want you to notice the warning here to believers. Paul here is warning this church. Now, let's go back to verse number 3. Notice what he begins by warning them. And this is a big warning for all of us. Verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. All right? That's all of us. Every man that is among you. Now, the word man here is, it's not referring to just men as far as that goes. It's men, women, children, all of that. It says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Folks, the warning is that we think too highly of ourselves. Now, let me just be very clear on this subject. There is nobody, as far as members one of another, that is more important than anybody else. Nobody. You say, well, preacher, you're the pastor, but can I tell you something? I am no more important than anybody else in this church. That is how God looks at us. God does not look at some people and say, boy, they do all kinds of things and they're really important in the church. The Bible tells us that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. So what is it that often divides a church? What is it often that brings disunity? It does the same in a family as well as a church family. It's called pride. You know, pride's ugly. And you know what? Pride's in all of us tonight. In fact, we think about pride. Pride, where does it begin? It begins in the mind. We begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Pride ruins relationships. It stirs up strife. The Bible talks about that only by pride cometh contention. Do you know that pride brings contention when people are proud, when they think too highly of themselves? Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight that honestly I'm ashamed of. When I was first a youth director, and I was 23 years of age, you know, and I had no idea what I was doing, you know, really. And I was an assistant pastor and a youth director. I remember one time, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I remember one time we had a situation going on, and somebody kind of got in my face, you know. Now, I try to be a nice person, but you know, that you can get in the flesh real quick when someone does that. And you know what I said to them? I'm ashamed. It's not funny to me. I said to them, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I'm an assistant pastor, you know. I've got lots of experience. I've been here 3 months now, you know. And but you know what? The moment that came out of my mouth, God convicted me. Who was I? I was a sinner saved by the grace of God. That's who I was. And you know what? For me to say, hey, don't you know who I am? That was proud. That was pride coming out from my mouth because it was in my heart, in my mind. You see, when we develop a perception, and it's only a perception, that we are more important or more valuable than any other member in the church, pride has entered into your heart, and you will cause division and hurt and wounds to many in the family of God. Paul gives a warning here. We are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I heard the story about a young man who had just been hired to work for a large supermarket chain. On his first day of the week, he reported to the manager at one of the stores, and the manager greeted him with a warm handshake and a smile and handed him a broom and said, son, your first job will be to sweep out the store. Well, that young man looked at him, puzzled, and he was not thinking, this was not what I signed up to be. And he said, sir, I'm a college graduate. The manager, he said, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Here, give me the broom and I'll show you how to sweep, you know? Well, we know that sometimes can be the case, all right? But you know, the truth of the matter is, there are times in all of our lives when we think too highly of ourselves. When we think that maybe, you know, boy, that church would really do pretty bad if I wasn't there. When you start thinking that way, that is pride that has entered in, and that is not the spirit in which we are members one of another. By the way, all of us are capable of having the spirit of pride. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, let me read it to you. It says, "For if a man," listen to this, "think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. When we think we are something, when we think we are something, the Bible says, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Folks, may God help us to guard our hearts that nobody is more important than anybody else in the church. We are members one of another. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, "Do not desire to be the principal man in the church. Be lowly. Be humble. The best man in the church is the man who is willing to be a doormat for all to wipe their boots on. The brother who does not mind what happens to him at all, so long as God is glorified." That is the spirit that we are to have here. We should have the spirit that no job is too small for us to do. No job is too dirty for us to do. We ought to have the attitude that we are here to serve one another. And all together, we are working together. We are members one of another to bring glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? One of the saddest outcomes of this thinking of pride is that it causes us to forget that we are members one of another. That nobody is more important than one another. And by the way, every one of us, God has gifted us. Folks, it is God who has given us the ability to do the things that we do in the local church. He is the distributor of our gifts, and He enables us to serve in the local church. The warning to believers is that when we get filled with ourselves, that one another aspect of our relationship begins to tear away. We almost think, well, I'll tell you, I'm pretty important. And I tell you, that church needs me there. Folks, do we need you? Absolutely. But if you think that we cannot get by without any person, that's a proud thought. May God help us. You know what I have thought often to myself? When I was in Pennsylvania this week, I prayed for you often. And I was thankful to have that time in prayer. And I prayed for our church, and I thanked God for allowing me to be the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it, but I thank the Lord for the privilege to do it. And I told the Lord, God, help me to remember what a blessing it is to be a pastor and what you have done in my heart and life. Folks, without the Lord's work in our heart and life, we all would be men most miserable. We really would. And God has done a work in our hearts, but there is a warning to all believers. Let us guard from thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. All right, so that's number one, the warning to believers. Number two, the wonder of believers. Now, let me give an example like the example that God gives. Did you know that the human body is an amazing miracle by God? I mean, it really is. Hey, just study the eye. I mean, it's just amazing what the eye can do. I mean, study about how your body will clot when you cut yourself. Can you imagine if our bodies didn't clot when you cut yourself? That wouldn't be a good thing, all right? Can you imagine how the body, it heals itself? You cut yourself. There's an injury. It works to heal. God designed the body. It is a masterpiece like no one could ever imagine. It is a wonder of wonders, the human body. But you know what? The local church, there is a wonder about the church. Let's read it, all right? Look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay, here's the idea. We have many members in one body. Your body, your physical body, has lots of members. All right? You have fingers, you have toes, you have ears. There's lots of members to our body. And by the way, let's go back thinking on the first point. The warning is that if we think that one member is more important than another member, that's like your big toe that most of us never see, all right? And that might be a blessing for all of us, okay? All right? But let's take your big toe. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have it, you're going to have a hard time walking. But what if the toe, and by the way, the Bible gives us this example. What if the toe said to the eye, I'm tired of being the toe. I want to be the eye. Everybody sees the eye. Everybody notices the eye. It has great importance. But folks, can I tell you something? God made the toe just like He made the eye, and no one is more important. You see, tonight, that's what the church is. The church is many members in a body, collectively speaking. And the Bible says that we all don't have the same office. Just like, I mean, could you imagine if the thumb said, I'm tired of being the thumb. I want to be the ear now. It's time for me to be the ear. That'd look awful strange, would it not? It wouldn't work because that is the design. And by the way, God has made a design for your body as much as He has made a design for the local New Testament church. And if we do not follow the pattern of God's order in the church, there is going to be disorder. I pray that here, and I thank God, that we have order in our church. But we must guard against that spirit that we think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. This wonder, that this describes the unity of the body. Now, here's something I want you to understand about the wonder. Number one, kind of under this, is the uniqueness of each member. Did you know that every person here is uniquely created by God? Now, I know we joke and laugh about that sometimes, but the truth of the matter is, there is no one just like you. God made you unique. He created you. You are a first edition, and there are no second editions. You are the first and only one. God made you the way you look, the gifts, the talents, the abilities. God gave you all of that. Let's think about our parents. Did any of us get to choose our parents? I don't think so. God chose your parents for you. God put you in the family and the upbringing that He wanted you to be in. You see, we are uniquely designed by an almighty God. But guess what? In our church, all of us have a uniqueness in this church. Just like the physical body, the local church has many parts to the body. And for instance, let's think about this just for a moment, all right? God designed every part of our physical body to function as a whole. Even the little parts of our body, we may not even see those or notice those, but they have a great part in the body. By the way, some people think that they have a less important role in the local church because maybe their responsibility or their part, their uniqueness, seems to be less prominent. By the way, do you know that while in each service is going on, there are people in the nursery. They are taking care of the babies. Thank God for that. All right. And they take care of them and change them. Look, I don't think God made me to do that. All right. That's just not a good thing, you know. And my dad, I'm sure I've told you this, but maybe you haven't heard it. But my dad, he said he didn't change too many diapers when him and mom were having children and all of that. And he said the only time God spoke to him audibly was when he changed a diaper and God said, don't ever do that again. And he said, I won't. Now, my dad's lying, okay? Because God didn't speak to him audibly, but it sounded spiritual to tell my mom, you know, that. But anyway, all right? But you know what? All right, let's just take tonight, for instance, okay? We had people on the piano. The piano's tonight working and serving. Not all of us can play the piano. But we have people, they're part of the body. We have people in the sound booth right now. People doing the live stream right now. Not all of us can do that, but we have people doing it. We have people in the nursery working and laboring. We have other people throughout the building. Tonight, we'll have a shower, this bridal shower. We have ladies that have set up and worked on that. Throughout the week, we have people assembling Bibles. We have, you know, not this week, but weeks other than that, we have people teaching in the Christian school and people taking care of things in the office and people mowing the grass and people, taking care of the building and cleaning and all of that. There are lots of parts to the body. People driving a bus and people visiting and people knocking on doors. There's lots of parts to this body. And all of us are unique in the eyes of God. May I tell you this, that Jesus is always the head of the body. And He is to be preeminent and prominent in all things in the body. By the way, for the body of Christ to function well, members of the church have to understand this. And I want you to listen to me. In order for this church to function properly, we have to remember that Christ put us together. Now think about that just for a moment. The Lord put us together. God is the one who gives the increase of the local church. And God put us together, so that means it's His will for us to function together. You see, God has done this in the church. By the way, I believe the Lord brought me here and my family here. I believe the Lord did that. And God has brought people into our church. Do you know that I pray often, God, bring us families. And Lord, bring us people that can help us accomplish what You want us to accomplish at Grace Baptist Church. Lord, You do the work. And I believe that God has done that time and time again. You see, tonight, we must understand that there is a uniqueness to this body. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at this, all right? It is God who sets in the body of the church as He pleases. By the way, the gospel attracts all kinds of people. This past week, let me give you a simple illustration. This past week, I was in, as I've told you, Mount Zion Baptist Church. I've been there, I don't know, four or five different times. And but you know something? I don't belong there. And I'm not saying not as to go there and preach, but that's not where God placed me. I told my wife when I returned, Chris is the pastor, Chris Starr, and he's a good friend of mine, a godly man, loves the Lord, one of the finest Christians that I know. And I told my wife, I said, you know, God made him just for that work there. God created him for that work. He fits in. That's His people, all of that. And Chris is a deer hunter. And by the way, every night they had someone in the church that would bring the special speaker a snack, all right, to eat. And do you know what I got out of five out of the six times, a part of the snack was deer sausage. That's what I got. Now, that's not bad. I like it. But you know what? That church, there's all kinds of hunters there, you know? I mean, there's hunters everywhere. I mean, you know, they're just ready to hunt, you know? And but I like it. I think it's great. But can I say this to you? God designed Chris to be there in that church and those people together. Look at this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look in verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 14. Look what it says here. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We would say, no. Look at what it says in verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God," look at verse 18, "but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." Verse 18, you ought to underline it in the Bible, because I want you to listen to me very closely. You may think, well, I'll tell you, preacher, that church would be a good church if so-and-so wasn't there. Preacher, if you get rid of so-and-so, it'd be a great church. But wait a minute. You're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And also, But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. You see, God has brought us together. We are uniquely created and uniquely designed to function as a part of the body. Not all of us can do everything. I cannot do everything in this church. God has called me to preach. I believe that. And I am to preach. But whatever God has called you to do is not less than the visible aspect of some things in the ministry. Oh, may God help us. You see, there is a warning to all the believers, but there is also this, as we see it, the wonder of the believer as we work together. 4 decades after the historical moonwalk, Neil Armstrong reflected on it in an interview. He said, and I want you to listen to this. He said, "I was certainly aware that this was the culmination of the work of 300,000 to 400,000 people over a decade." He and fellow astronaut Jim Lovell said their favorite part of walking on the moon was knowing that they were part of a great team effort. You know what we could say? Boy, that Neil Armstrong, look what he did. Well, he just walked on the moon. He was a part of it. He was a great part of it. But what about the guys back taking care of and making sure that he had all that he needed? What about the person who built everything that needed? What about the one who built the suits? What about people that we'll never know about? They all were a part of the team. And folks, today, you know, we're part of the team here. And have you ever seen a ball team before where, as we would call them, there's a hot dog on the team? You know what I'm talking about. Give me the ball. He's the ball hog per se, all right? He wants to shoot. He always has to shoot. I remember we had a person when I was in high school. I wasn't very good, but I enjoyed playing. But we had a person on the team. And I'm going to tell you something. All the time. We didn't want to throw the ball to him because he kept it, you know? Wanted to take it in the locker with him, you know? I mean, it was just, you know, he had to have it. And folks, if we have that mentality in the church, I've got to be recognized. I've got to be noticed. I've got to be seen. And if I am not, I'm leaving. That's not the spirit of a team player and a team member. It is not the spirit of members one of another. By the way, you know what? Even in a family, you know what? Sometimes in a family, we don't treat one another the way we should. Sometimes in a family, there's differences and maybe there's hindrances. But guess what? That family has to work together. That family has to have the Spirit of Christ in their home because God has designed us as a body to have unity and oneness. May God help us tonight. The devil wants disunity in our church so that it does not function well as a body. And when each member seeks to pursue his or her own selfish desires, the church is unable to function in peace as God intended it. Folks, each member, and I want you to hear me out, each member here tonight has the potential to hurt or to help or to be a burden or to be a blessing. Do you know that you have that power that lies within you? You can tear down the work of God, or you can try to build up the work of God. You can encourage while you're here, or discourage while you're here together. Choose to be an encourager. Choose to edify. Choose to be a blessing. And choose to be a servant. So we see the warning to believers, the wonder of the believer, but thirdly and lastly, the work of believers. What is our work? Go back to Romans chapter number 12, and I want you to see this passage here. Here's the work of believers. Now, here is tonight, as I'm closing here in a few moments, I am going to talk about gifts. God has gifted every member of the church. God has given you a gift. Many people believe that the Bible uses that word that it's plural, that it's possible that believers all have at least 2 gifts. I don't know that, but I know that God has gifted us all. Let's read it. Romans 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts, there it is in plural, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, we could read on here, but here, Paul is talking about the gifts. Now, if we are going to talk about gifts, we have to distinguish in the New Testament about temporary gifts, or we could call those sign gifts, and permanent gifts. Now, please understand this, because this is important. So let's first talk about the temporary sign gifts. Did you know that God gave to the early church some temporary, they were not to last forever, and they were sign gifts? Let me read you a verse. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." In fact, the miraculous gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues were given to validate the gospel message as it was first preached during those early days, during what we call the apostolic age. For instance, you remember the day in the book of Acts where the apostles came and they began to preach the word of God. But God performed a great miracle. And on that day, those people, there was all kinds of nationalities there that day. And they heard them preach, but they heard it in their own language. You know what God did? God performed a miracle. God did something miraculous so that they could hear the gospel. But folks, let me say something. These sign gifts ceased as the written word of God came to completion. Folks, tonight we have the complete revelation of God's word. Right there. You understand, the Jews that required a sign, they didn't have the Bible as we have it today. They did not. They needed, as God gave them, sign gifts. They were temporary sign gifts. By the way, the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 13 that tongues shall cease. And in verse 10 it says, that which is in part shall be done away. When would it be done away? When the word of God is fulfilled. Now please understand me. And please hear me out. There may be people that believe in these temporary sign gifts, that they believe that they are gifts for the local New Testament church now. Look, we should not be unkind to them. We should not have a spirit that is rude to them. I believe there's many sincere people that still believe in the temporary sign gifts. Now, let's talk about healing. Folks, God is still in the healing business today. Amen. But God is the healer. I do believe that God heals. But there were apostles that God gave them special power. And when they came in contact with people, they were healed. Now, God can heal people. But folks, let us understand that I believe these two temporary sign gifts were simply temporary. And they have been done away with because we have the fully revealed word of God. But let's talk about the permanent gifts. Now, I believe that these are gifts that God gifts people with. And by the way, let me explain something about a gift. Did you know that a gift is not something that you worked for? A gift is not something that you did on your own. So let us understand that these gifts are from God, and it's not something that we created on our own ability. I have told preacher boys before when I've talked to them, and I have told them, I said, listen, if God has called you to be a preacher, then don't do anything else with your life. Preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. But if God has not called you to preach, don't dare try to preach His word. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just be very clear with you. Folks, I'm a pastor. God's called me to be a pastor. But if God hasn't called someone to be a pastor, they will be miserable and they will make other people miserable. Because it has to be a calling. I believe God calls. And look, the calling is with a gift. God gifts us. So let's talk about these permanent gifts. Now, I don't want to take a long time, but I want to talk about them, all right? God has given each believer a gift because of His grace, because of His favor. And since these are divine gifts, we should not boast in them that we can do them. If God enables us to do certain things, it is for His glory and not for our own. Now, we can break these gifts down into two categories. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, because I believe this is the best place for us to look at these gifts broken down, I believe, into two different categories. All right? I believe that we can break the gifts into the categories, number one, the gifts for educating people, and secondly, the gifts for edifying people. Educating and edifying people, all right? Now let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Notice what the Bible says, all right? Let's read this verse. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. That's very important to understand. You did not create your own gift. God gave you that gift. Now, bear with me. Let's go back to Romans chapter number 12. All right? Romans chapter 12. And let's talk about these gifts. Gifts for educating people. All right? The Bible clearly talks about these. And we're not going to spend a long time on them. But I want you to notice these. All right? The Bible in verse number 6 talks about prophecy. Now, prophecy is a gift, but let me explain it to you. The gift focuses on discernment and insight. I believe that God gifts people with certain type of insight and discernment about decisions, and insight and discernment. They have the gift of prophecy. Now, folks, we know what is coming, all right? Because this is the fully revealed Word of God. The gift of prophecy is not someone that says, well, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. God has spoken to me. Folks, God does not speak to people in that instance. Folks, God speaks to us through His precious Word. And therefore, God does not speak to someone in a special way as He did many years ago when they did not have the Bible. I'm working through the book of Jeremiah right now. But God spoke to Jeremiah and Jeremiah spoke to the people. But folks, we have the Word of God today. But there is a gift of prophecy. Secondly, there's a gift of just teaching. And those with this gift of teaching have a God-given ability to clearly explain God's Word to others. Now look, we know people like this. They just have an ability that God gave to them, a gift of teaching. There's a gift of exhorting. This is a person who is a natural encourager who knows how to say the right things at the right time. Now look, some people don't have this gift, all right? It's like, my goodness, you know? But by the way, can I help you with something? I did that on purpose. Because I know of Christians, I'm not saying here, but I know of Christians, well, I don't have that gift of encourager, so I'm going to be a discourager, you know? But we almost can say, well, that's not my gift, so I don't have to do that. Listen to me closely. Folks, like the gift of giving, like all the spiritual gifts, is not just to be practiced by someone who is gifted by God for it. For instance, all of us are to encourage one another. We are commanded by God to edify, to lift up one another. We are to serve one another. We ought to give to the Lord's work. We ought to be willing to teach maybe a disciple, maybe to teach a new believer in Christ. Just because you are not gifted by God in these areas does not mean that you're exempt from them. You may say, well, I'm just not gifted in that area, but we are still commanded by God. But God gives people. All right, we look back in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 6 talks about prophecy. And we look at this. Verse number 7, or ministry. Let's talk about gifts for edifying the people. One is ministering. This focuses on the act of service. It involves simply helping with whatever needs to be done and serving with a willing heart. There are people, I know of people like this. They have the gift of ministering. They just love to minister. They love it. They love to do whatever they can. God has given them that gift. All right? There's the gift of giving. Now let me explain this. God blesses some with the ability to give abundantly. He encourages giving in them, and they find great joy in doing so. My wife and I know of a man back in the church where we came from, and You know something, we were a young couple, and you know, most married couples start out just hardly nothing, you know. And you know something, I didn't know it till many years later, but every time we were getting ready to go on a trip, and it was usually to either Tennessee or Alabama, where my wife's folks were, or my folks were in Tennessee, long trip from Illinois. And every time we'd get ready to go, somebody would put something in our church box. We didn't know who it was, but can I tell you who it was? It was a man whom God had blessed him with the ability to give. Now, I'm not saying we should not all give. We are commanded to give our tithe, that we are to give an offering. I pray that you're part of Faith Promise and you're giving to missions. And we all should look for opportunities to give to others and help others. But some people, God has gifted them in this matter. There is another gift, the gift of ruling. The Bible talks about this. Ruling or administration is the ability to dig deep and to see the details, to strategize and to plan. It's the gift of ruling. And then there's the gift of mercy. Those with this gift are quick to forgive others and show mercy to the undeserving. Tonight, can I tell you this? I don't know what your gift may be, but God has gifted you. But tonight, there needs to be a warning to every one of us here not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We ought not let pride enter in. And let me tell you, let me give you some examples of this. If you're not willing to be kind and gracious to everyone in the church, then that's pride, because you think you're too above that. If we're not willing to help, you know, anybody in our church, if we're not willing to be kind and gracious, and if we're not willing to help and lend a helping hand to people, then that is pride, because it's saying, you know, I'm a little too above that. We don't say that, but we sure act that way. It's a warning to believers that we must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But the wonder, folks, the local church is amazing how God has created it. God has brought us together, and He has placed us in the body together as He has pleased. So let us not look around and say, well, I'm going to get rid of this person. The body would be happier without this person. Folks, leave that in the hands of God. Let the Lord take care of that. The Lord has a way of pruning. He is the husbandman. He is the one in John 15 that does the pruning as needs to be done. But let us remember that, folks, there is a work for all of us to do. Can I ask you something tonight? How are you using your spiritual gift? Are you using your gift that God has gifted you with? This is the church. We are members one of another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. And Lord, this is a good passage of scripture for our church and for me. Lord, tonight may we have the attitude that we are members one of another, and we're going to serve one another. And we're going to love one another and forgive one another. Help us this evening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question this evening. How many say, preacher, God dealt with me about an area, I know it's hard to admit, but an area of pride in your life to where you have thought more highly of yourself than you ought to think as a member of this church. You say, preacher, I'm going to be honest. God has dealt with me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Amen. 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 My hand is raised as well. How many would say, preacher, the Lord has dealt with me tonight that I am to love one another and I am to forgive one another in our church. God has dealt with me. You say, that's me. Would you lift your hand? Preacher, that's me. God's dealt with me in this matter. Amen. And tonight, how many would say, pastor, I want to use my God-given gift for His glory and for His honor. That's me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Amen. Let's stand together tonight, and I'm going to ask the piano to play, but we're not going to sing tonight. And I think this is an appropriate time for our church to really pray together about this. We're members one of another. And tonight, I think we ought to come to this altar as a church. I'm not making you come, but I'm asking you to come. And join me here tonight that we can pray. Let's ask God to forgive us for our pride in thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And then let's recognize that we are unique and we need each other. God has placed us together as He has seen fit. And let us use our gifts one another. You know what? In a church, if there's lack in a church, it's probably because someone is not using their gift. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for tonight. Lord, I've waited to preach this message and I thank You for it. But God, help us tonight. You brought us together. Help us to serve together, to love together. And Lord, deliver us from thinking too highly of ourselves. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come and join me here tonight? I want to thank you tonight for being here. I'll tell you, that passage of Scripture is so powerful. And that's what church is about. And we have to function together. And we're all different. We're all different. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different things. But that's okay, because God's put us together. We are members of one body. And let us be faithful together. Forgive one another. Love one another. And recognize God's put us together. And I thank God for this. All right. Well, ladies, we do have the shower tonight. And are y'all having some food down there? Food? Yes. What is it? It's down there. Subway. Nothing for the guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. Okay. We're members one of another, but you know. Okay. But anyway, I'm joking. All right. I'm kidding. All right. But all right. So ladies, you'll have that in the fellowship hall. And let's pray together and close. Thank you for being here. Father, we love you. And Lord, I love what you have done with the church, your design, and it's wonderful, and it's intricate, and it's a wonder. But God, help us. We need you, because we can get jealous of one another, and we can become envious of one another and hurt one another. Lord, may we love one another and serve one another for thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.